Today's scripture comes from Romans 14, 1 through 12, and I'm reading from the NIV version. Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord, and if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Amen. So, Paul, again, is still writing to the Romans. We're up to the 14th chapter now. He's still writing to this congregation that he hasn't met, and it's a very diverse congregation, and they are wanting to do things right. And they are also wanting more people to come into their congregations, their churches. Sounds a lot like us. You know, we want to do things right and we want to have people come in. And he starts out with this really, really interesting phrase, welcome those who are weak in faith. Okay, that makes sense. But not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. It's almost like he's looking at people saying, come on in to our church, and we're going to have a debate. We're going to talk about whether you're right or I'm right, because you don't think the same thing that I do. And then the assumption is, I'm making up this scenario here, the assumption is, I'm going to change your mind. So when you come in, we're going to have this conversation, and then you're going to think exactly the way that I do, and then we're all going to be happy. But Paul is saying, welcome those who are weak in faith. That's fair enough, right? I mean, we want to encourage those whose faith is not strong. And then he says, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. And what Connie read from a different translation was over disputable matters. So opinions, disputable matters, we're not talking about, I don't really believe that it's wrong to steal. I think there are perfectly good reasons for stealing, and so I don't think that's really wrong. That doesn't fall into the opinion category. That's pretty much accepted in all cultures that, no, that's not a good thing to do. But he's talking about these issues. And it's a fuzzy line, because the people who have grown up and been through the Hebrew school, whatever it was in those days, and have learned all of the rules, feel that they are not disputable matters. So that's part of the difficulty. Part of the difficulty is stepping back and determining what's really a matter of opinion and what's really a matter of God's law and God's desire and God's will. But he's very specific here about some of the things that he is talking about. And there are Jews in these congregations who have learned all of their lives from their parents and from their education and everything else that there are certain foods that you are not allowed to eat. And the particular problem in the world at that time was if you went to the market and bought some meat, it might be meat from something that was sacrificed at a pagan temple. So you might possibly be eating meat that had been offered to a god, small g, that was not the god that you worshiped, the I am. And so those people, to avoid that risk, would not eat meat. It wasn't that they particularly wanted to be vegetarian, but this is a hard passage for vegetarians. So what do you mean vegetarians are weak? Some of us may feel that way, but the point was that they didn't want to risk worshiping an idol unintentionally. And presumably some of the Jews came to the realization that if they were eating the meat, just because they were eating the meat because they bought it, if they didn't know whether or not it had been offered to an idol, it didn't really matter. They weren't engaging in idol worship. And of course, the people who had come from other cultures never even gave it a thought. So we've got this difference about eating, about what can you safely, as far as liturgical rules, eat, and what can you not safely eat. So Paul is saying, you know, there's no point in either one of you trying to convince the other, because the people who are abstaining from meat are doing so for reasons that are firm in their conscience, and it's not hurting anybody else for them to do that. And the people who are eating the meat are not constrained by those rules, and they're still faithful people, and they're not hurting anybody by doing that. Now, Paul does say elsewhere that if you're eating meat in front of somebody who is abstaining from meat and they're really fragile in their faith, that might be a problem. And that's legitimate because that's an issue of loving your neighbor. It's not an issue of whether or not the meat is okay. So the other thing he addresses here is the holy days. Now, of course, we have our liturgical calendar in the Christian church. We have Christmas and we have Easter, we have Ascension, we have Transfiguration, we have All Saints, we have all kinds of special days. And we come by that naturally because our roots are in the Hebrew tradition where they had the festivals of Passover and Booths and all the different festivals, not to mention, of course, Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. And of course, some of the Jews could not particularly observe Sabbath because they were living in a Roman world and they had to work and they had to do whatever. But there is this tension again about the holy days. That tension still exists. We have different holy days in cultures that we have in Albuquerque, in Santa Fe, and for some people, Sunday is the holy day. For some people, Saturday is the holy day. For some people, Friday is the holy day. We had a heck of a time at the Interfaith Alliance trying to plan events that didn't interfere with anybody's holy days. So we were pretty much stuck with Monday through Thursday. Assuming that that wasn't a particularly special Monday through Thursday, to not interfere with people's holy days. It's the same thing here. Paul is saying, those of you who find it important, I can relate to this. Easter is a special day. Holy Week is full of special days. Christmas, Christ the King, Transfiguration, these are all special days, and I feel like they deserve special honor. And I may or may not be able to give them special honor. We may or may not be able to do a service in the church, and I may have a meeting to attend that lasts all day or whatever. But we feel that way. And other people, it's like, you know, God created every day, and we're going to rejoice in it. Paul is saying both of those are valid points of view, and you don't need to change each other's minds. So, when we're welcoming people who may be weak in faith or may just have a different approach to faith than we do, It's not to argue with them. It's not to have a debate, and debate is different. I don't know if any of you have ever done debating. I did some debating in high school, and that's really fun. Probably good training for being a pastor. I don't know, but there are some specific rules about debating, and they don't necessarily get followed in some of the debates we see in this time. But that's not what they're talking about. He's talking about arguing over things that really don't matter. What matters is faith. What matters is worshiping God. What matters is loving one another and being in community and not judging. Not judging another, because when I judge that other person, I've got these three fingers pointing back at myself. I may feel strongly that I am right, that my opinion is truth, and that's okay. What's not okay is for me to say that somebody else's opinion, because it's different mine, is not truth. It's not just that what's right for me is right, it's what right for me is right for me. And what's right for the other person is right for the other person. And what if I'm so convinced the other person is wrong, and then it turns out that I'm the one who was wrong? I don't want to be in that position. Because God knows, and God is going to say, you got it right, you got it wrong. I don't think that God is going to condemn any of us for worshiping on the wrong day or anything like that. But we are not to judge, because we are not the judge. God is the one who will ultimately decide the right and wrong of each one of us, the pastor, as well as the laity, the priest, as well as the parishioner, the judge, the government official, whatever, as well as the citizen. So again, we have Matthew's gospel tracking alongside what we have with Paul writing in Romans. And this is a great passage that we have. This is in Matthew 18, when Peter comes to Jesus and says, "How often do I have to forgive my brother? Seven times? Am I allowed to stop forgiving him after seven times?" Jesus says, "No. Not seven times, 77 times. And that's going to be hard for you to keep track of, so just don't bother to keep track. Just keep forgiving." The bottom line, because Jesus goes on to tell a parable there about the king who settles accounts, and one of the slaves who has a huge debt is forgiven. And we talked about debt, trespasses, and so on recently. This is specifically a debt. He was forgiven a huge debt. And then he turned around and, with another slave, said, "Oh, you owe me this piddling little sum. I want you to pay me back right now, or I'm going to have you thrown in prison." Forgiveness needs to flow through. And the bottom line here is, how often should I forgive my brother? How often do I have to forgive the same person for doing the same thing? And the answer is not a number. The answer is, how often would you like God to keep forgiving you? How often would I like God to keep forgiving me? Because when I come to God and I confess and I say, this is wrong. I did this thing wrong. Please forgive me. I know better, and I don't want to do it again. That doesn't mean that I'm not gonna do it again. I can't help myself sometimes. I'm just gonna, those unkind words are gonna slip out of my mouth, or I'm gonna covet. Oh yeah, I'm gonna covet. I don't want to. I don't like it. But what a relief to know that I can keep going back to God and saying, "I did it wrong again. Please forgive me." So if we judge, we are also judging ourselves. But if we forgive, and accept. We are also opening ourselves for forgiveness and acceptance. And that is what Paul is telling his unknown church in Rome. And that is what Jesus wills for us, to love God and love others as we ourselves would be loved. Thanks be to God. Amen.